Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 28 of It's Just Bodybuilding. I'm here with Dusty Hanshaw, and I'm Ron Partlow. And on today's show, we're getting 100% nasty with Ant Bales on It's Just Bodybuilding. Dusty.
What up, boss?
You know, I got coffee for this one.
Yeah, I doubled. I just made a coffee while I was waiting for you.
I figure we're going to have to
keep... But I got your favorite water, too.
Oh, there we go.
Don't worry. Still pretending to be rich.
I got... I have a worn-out Old Mutant shaker where the logo's completely worn off, and I've put in a West Coast Iron sticker on it.
Custom.
And, yeah, and I like it because it's rough. It's rough. The sticker's got a bubble in it. Kind of looks fucked up. I like things that aren't perfect. There's lots of scratches on it, and it's full of orange Kool-Aid. So that's my day.
That's choice.
Are we ready to bring on Anth Bales and get nasty?
I said we fucking dive into this. I don't want to get too nasty with another man, but we'll see where this goes.
Context, Dusty. Okay. There we
go.
Focus. Forget what you were just watching. You're now on It's Just Bodybuilding.
I'm back.
Okay, let's get Anth on.
Gentlemen, how's it going?
Very good. That Geordi accent is music to my ears, buddy.
Yeah, we'll have to slow down the accent because nobody understands the
noise. Here, you got to throw your camera on for us, bro.
Yeah, we should be on, actually. Let me take a look.
There we go.
Are we on now?
Oh, here
there
we go.
You are.
Yeah.
Forever hardcore. There you go. You're looking good, man.
We're trying. We're kind of falling to pieces right now, but we're trying to hang in. We had a leg session with Leroy the weekend, so we're suffering a little bit today.
Oh, I love it. I love it. There's always duct tape and staples for that stuff.
Yeah, we've got to put another gun in for the kneecap, so we've got 3 years left yet.
Yeah, 10 years left in you. Yeah, man, thanks for coming on the show. Yeah, maybe five. Yeah, thanks for coming on the show, man. And, you know, I know you're really busy at the gym. Why don't you tell us what's going on with all the stuff that's been going on with your gym and this new gym? And just, you know, I'm really curious because I love gyms and shit. So,
yeah, I used to watch the Mutant on a Mission when you were on the gyms and stuff. You were going to visit here at 1.1 when you were body power, but you chickened out. So, never mind.
Oh, chicken. I think I budgeted out, not chickened out.
Yeah, this isn't a shameless product plug. I'm actually in the storeroom at the current gym right now because we're moving everything around. So this is the only place where I've got some peace and quiet. So, yeah, Max Muscle Gym, we are closing in 3 weeks' time. We're merging with Ultraflex Gyms to bring you, you know, you see Max Muscle 100% or nothing. Then there's Ultraflex Gym. So we're bringing you Ultraflex 100% or nothing gym. So I don't know if you've seen any vids of my gym. It's a small kind of back street, hardcore type gym. And guys, as we know, you know, these gyms are far and few between now. You know, it's come to a point in time where it's time to move to a bigger premises. You know, this is predominantly a bodybuilding gym. And again, there's not a lot of bodybuilders just out there. Bodybuilding only gyms now. We have to offer a little bit of something for everybody nowadays. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we came up with an opportunity to team up with Ultraflex. It's a great opportunity. It's going to be an amazing gym. I've just been down there earlier today, actually. This is why I asked you if we could do the podcast a little bit later on your time, because I've been down there sorting out stairmasters that are not working and treadmills that are not set up right and stuff and deliver forklifts of delivery. So, yeah, look out for Ultraflex 100% or nothing gym coming soon, which will be about, if all goes to plan, 3 weeks' time.
Nice. I look forward to seeing a lot about it, man. You know, you got so many good training videos out there. You know, you're a Machiavelli motivation veteran. You make the highlight reels all the time, man.
Yeah, for some reason, my ugly mush ends up on there somehow. I don't know how they get on there, but we're always on there.
Well, you can see it in the video. You know, there's always those people that I'm always amazed by the people where their faces don't really change while they're training.
Right.
I'm just
permanently ugly, so yeah.
And then Anth, you know, you see he's like you can tell you're like facing death, you know? And it's the intensity comes across in the videos and so you know, I mean, You know, I've been watching your stuff for years, man. I mean, I remember when you got your pro card, you know? What year was that?
Yeah, I will say I am terrible with dates and times, but I do remember the pro card, obviously. That was 2012.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, a long time ago now.
I know. I remember all the guys I knew from England, they were, like, happy when you got your pro card. You know, there was a lot of people that were happy for Anth Bales, you know, because I think you have always had a lot of hardcore support from the real bodybuilding community. True?
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, for somebody who kind of hasn't, you know, I only did two pro shows. You know, we didn't do too great, to be honest. I was a little bit off in the two pro shows. But, yeah, I do get a shit ton of support for being somebody who isn't kind of a big top high-end pro. So, yeah, it is much appreciated. You know, to be fair, we all know there's a lot of kind of bullshit goes on in the industry, and fortunately that doesn't kind of get put my way, so I am very, very blessed in that respect.
Well, I think you I think the people that are fortunate to not get bullshit thrown their way are also not throwing bullshit at other people.
Yeah, possibly.
You know, so it's out of how you conduct yourself has a lot to do with that. I wanted to ask you, of course, you know, you're famous for being teamed up with Leroy in a lot of ways and a lot of videos. Yeah. For many years. I want to hear the story about how you and Leroy hooked up and got together.
Yeah, we met on Tinder, actually, me and Leroy. So,
you guys matched. That's great.
Yeah.
Swipe match.
It's a bit of a funny story, actually, because the first time I trained with Leroy, I actually tore the quad. So I'll tell you the story about how me and Leroy met. if you remember, a long, long time ago, it was actually 2012. It was the year I turned pro. MD were doing a series called Temple Gym Raw. Obviously, you guys know Temple Gym, Birmingham, which is an infamous gym. And they were doing a series in there, just basically no editing and stuff, just black and white video. And at the time, Giles Thomas was working. I'm sure you guys know Giles. He was working for MD.
I know and, Tiger.
Tiger Thomas. And he used to live quite close to me at the time. And he gave me a call and he said, "Ant, listen, we're doing this thing, Temple Gym Raw. And we're going to go down there. And would you like to train with Leroy?" And I was like, "Man, there's the best shit in the woods." I mean, at that time, I probably watched Blood and Guts about 15,000 times. So yeah, I wanted to train with Leroy. But the only thing that was previously, about 3 weeks previous, I'd injured the left leg. I was doing some squats, and I think I had like 5-6 plates on there. And I remember it was the third rep, and I came up and it kind of made like a ripping kind of sensation in the leg. Mm-hmm. Which I thought I tore the quad, so obviously I racked it in. And anyway, it turned out it was just something I did something to the IT band. It wasn't a tear, but, you know, it needed some rest or whatever. It needed some therapy. So we had a couple of weeks therapy on there. And I said to my therapist, "Listen, I've got this workout in a week's time. You know, do you think it's possible if I can do it without hurting myself?" And she was like, "Yes, you know, if you take it easy." So, you know, you're going to train with Leroy Davis at Temple Gym. You know, any other time I would have probably said no, you know, and being smart, but this was an opportunity I didn't want to miss. You know, obviously massive Blood and Guts fan, massive Leroy and Dorian fan. So we headed down there, and, you know, everybody thinks of Leroy as this nasty guy, and he just starts shouting and shit. But he's a smart guy. He's a smart trainer as well. And the first thing he said was, "Listen, do you have any injuries that we need to work around, or, you know, you want to tell me about?" And I was like, "Shit, like." I was like, "No, I'm fine. I'm okay." You know, obviously, melee and all that stuff. So we started warming up on the leg extension, that flex leg extension. I'm sure you've had to go on the flex.
Yeah.
Awesome piece of kit. And the leg felt fine, went to failure. So we get onto the Cybex leg press.
Yeah.
You know, the Mark One. I'm sure you've had to go over it, Ron. You know, you've been on all the equipment.
You had the same one at your gym. Yeah.
So we got the same one. So I'm warming up. I'm not trying to be a hero. You know, I'm thinking, yeah, better back off just a little bit. So I was warming up on the second set, and it was a little bit less than I would usually use. So again, I wasn't trying to be a hero or anything. And I just
Where were you at, like 7 plates or something? A second warm up?
Yeah, I think we had like 8 plates aside on there, which, you know, it's usually very easy. It wasn't a big deal. But on the, I think it was like the 4th rep, again, I felt this burning sensation in the leg as I was coming up. So I thought, shit, it's the IT band again. Mm-hmm. So I said to Leroy, "Listen, you know, we're probably going to have to steady away now." Again, thinking it was the IT band.
Right.
So we stopped there on the leg press, and I continued. We did some light hack squat, and we did some heavy hamstrings, and we did someone that had to have a go on Dorian's crazy. I don't know if you, I mean, you've trained at Temple Gym, Ron, yeah?
Yeah, he's got
that. He used to have that homemade kind of calf raise that had about 17,000 pounds stack on
it,
there.
You had a 1,000 pound stack with the horns on it too. Yeah,
I actually think it's 1,500 pound stack. So
wow,
we did some heavy calves and stuff, and the leg felt okay. You know, it wasn't too bad. And then I started to walk home to the train station, and the leg just started to like feel like jelly, and it was all messed up, and I couldn't stand on it. And I got some therapy the next day, and it turns out that I'd actually tore the vastus lateralis. You know, it wasn't a full rupture, but there was a tear in there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's the story with the first session with okay. Leroy. We tore the quad. So that's Misty.
The match made in heaven right there.
Yeah, well, obviously since then, 2012, we kept in touch. And we've been good friends since. That's like
bad sex on the first date.
Yeah, something like that. If you want to put it like that. But yeah, like yeah, good friends with Leroy. He's got parent to my daughter and everything, and we catch up when we can. But people assume that we kind of live in this cave next to each other. But he's actually like 3-4 hours away, so we hook up when we can. And he was here, you know, last week. Well, this way and gone was Max Muscle's final like open day where we were having to get together. So we teamed up for a leg session, and we had a guy win a contest to train back with Leroy, so he did that. So, yeah, really good weekend. It was nice to have Mr. Nasty in town.
Mr. Nasty.
Yeah, Master of Nasty.
Did you guys did you film any of that leg training or what?
Yeah, well, there's some candid footage on Instagram now, but we did have a guy filming it. It should be out in maybe a week's time. So
nice, perfect.
Yeah, look out for that one.
You know, in our world now, if you didn't film it, it didn't happen. I mean, that's that's our new world, sadly.
Yes, yeah, it's sad. We say sadly. I'm kind of coming around to it now. I mean, I think you can still film stuff without getting too distracted. I mean, I think once the filming becomes priority over the session, that's when you're in trouble, which is like 80% of people, I think, now.
Right.
But I think that's the problem.
You don't even notice it. Like, I literally don't think about it. Yeah. When we're training, I mean, I forget they're there because my whole career has been you film shit. So
yeah, but I bet just that you're not like kind of setting a tripod up and some light and stuff. And,
oh, do I have a guy? No.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't do anything.
Between your hair's okay.
Yeah.
That's
why I don't have any hair.
Yeah, we don't have that problem. So
I have a guy. That's why I tell people all the time. I mean, I just pay a guy. He comes into every session, and so anything on my Instagram and stuff. I don't even see it till we're done. We get done training. I take a look at what he got, see if he got anything worth posting, and that's it. You know, I mean, that's where, guys mess up when they focus too much on that. And I'm like, well, if you're so focused on where your fucking tripod is, how are you going to focus on the set?
Yeah, exactly. You're not kind of getting the head in the game, are you? But yeah, unfortunately, my brother works the counter. So all I'll do is I just go thumb up, we film it. That's it. Done.
Right. Time to make some money.
money and bodybuilding.
Well, a penny by penny, you got to pull it out, right?
Yeah, we're doing okay.
I have a question for you about a lot of people don't know this because I don't think you talk about it too much, but you're a diabetic.
Yeah, I'm type 1 diabetic, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I used to have a training partner who was a diabetic, and I mean, he was just incredibly on top of everything. It just must be such a second nature thing to you now to manage that.
Yeah, I mean, especially like contest wise, you do have to like be literally on the hour, like on top of that blood glucose, because what people don't understand is they kind of just associate diabetes with carbohydrate.
Right.
You know, if your blood sugars are off, you know, running high, you're not going to absorb anything. You're going to piss out aminos. You're going to piss out, you know, like all the nutrients and stuff. So, yeah, the first time I competed as a diabetic was 2009. Yeah, we got in pretty good shape, but we lost a shit ton of tissue, you know, due to, you know, just learning and how to. It's not as simple as everybody thinks, you know. I'm totally honest. When I was kind of diagnosed as diabetic, obviously I was pissed off and annoyed, but I thought, hey, you know, it can't be that hard. Don't eat junk. Take your insulin with your carbs. You know, I didn't think about the protein and stuff. And yeah, it wasn't that simple. So yeah, I competed in 2009 and struggled a little bit. And then I got in touch with Colette Nelson. I'm sure you know Colette.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
So big thanks to her. She learned me a lot about the ins and outs of, you know, how to dose for protein and stuff. And yeah, it is a little bit more complex than people think, and just shooting some insulin and watching what you're doing type of thing. You know, the whole hormones and cortisol and adrenaline and stuff. It's just another kind of stress to add on top of the contest prep type of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Something that I've heard from other diabetics, bodybuilders, is that they get annoyed with how people think it's almost an advantage.
Yeah, like, I get that message all the time. It must be cool to get free insulin.
Really?
No, not at all. It's like saying somebody who hasn't got a very good endocrine system, it's cool because you get TRT. It's not an advantage at all. How many professional diabetic bodybuilders do you know?
Yeah, I mean, how many are there, Ant? I mean,
there's not many. And that's the reason why.
I was going to say, I only know one.
Yeah.
It's pretty difficult. Like you say, the whole kind of, generally a diabetic is kind of either very fat or quite skinny. You'll find. So it is quite hard to gain and maintain muscle, even though you get the free insulin. Yes, it's not that simple, unfortunately.
What's the difficulty for people that don't understand on maintaining the muscle? I mean, I already know, obviously, it's making sure body's using the protein and whatnot, but how do you go about doing that?
You've basically just got to keep on top of the blood sugar all the time. Especially if I'm doing a contest, I'll check my blood sugar like up to 12 times a day.
Right.
And if the blood sugar isn't in range, I mean, obviously you've got a hyperglycemic episode, which does happen. So you have to eat carbohydrate. There's no way around it. So that's obviously messes with your diet and stuff. Mm-hmm. And obviously with a hyperglycemic episode, you're going to get a lot of cortisol release, etc., which obviously isn't good for muscle.
Right.
And then again, if your blood sugars are running high, you're not going to absorb the nutrients. So again, you're going to lose muscle that way. So the blood sugar has to be perfect.
Right.
To be honest, that just does not happen. It's impossible. I mean, as a bodybuilder, you know the deal, guys. We do the same stuff every day. You get up at the same time. You train at the same time.
Yeah.
Mr. Diabetes does not give a shit about that. I could do the same thing today. Blood sugars could be pretty good. Tomorrow, even if I had the same stress levels, I could just have some readings that just go berserk for no apparent reason. And there'll be a diabetic watching this thing. Yeah, I can relate to that because it's so frustrating because I could. You know, if I wasn't doing what I should be doing, then fair play. You could go crazy, blood sugars. But if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and it's not kind of playing the game, it is very, very frustrating, yeah.
What do you do when you add carbs in that obviously weren't planned on your diet? How do you manage that with the prep? I mean, you're also known for being peeled out of your fucking mind. So you've got this down to a science.
Yeah, so my method is, what a lot of people don't understand is when you go hyperglycemic, you don't need like 1 million grams of carbs.
Yep.
Because you feel like you want to eat the whole world, don't you? When you have a hypo, the sweat starts.
That's what everyone does. They have a whole bag of cookies, right?
Yeah, that's just shovel everything in. You technically, you know, really need around 15 grams of carbohydrate to raise the blood sugar 2 millimoles. I know you guys work in a different region, but for UK and Europe, it's millimol, so generally I can have like 15 grams of carbs, sit down, that will pass. Possibly sometimes I might have to do that twice.
Right.
So if I have to eat an extra 30 grams of carbohydrate at that point, then I'll either like take it out with the next meal, or if it's the last meal, I'll take it out with the next day's meal. Or if I don't have any carbs to play with, I'll do some extra cardio. So yeah, it can kind of spiral a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we find a way. It's just you find a way to do it.
I've always thought that being a diabetic bodybuilder, you'd probably have some opinions about some things that other people think are true, but they're not. Like, you know, they say this carb's faster than this carb, but you would know because you have to change your blood sugar levels sometimes.
Yeah.
So, is there anything that you think is a myth when it comes to, you know, carbs and how they work in our bodies and how our blood sugar is affected?
Yeah, I think the kind of glycemic index for a bodybuilder kind of goes out the window because we're not eating carbohydrate on its own. Maybe for the general public who are diabetic, you know, like white rice versus brown rice, etc. But as a bodybuilder, you're going to eat like some white rice with some vegetables and some protein, aren't you? So I don't think the whole glycemic index is a massive issue as long as you're combining the foods. I don't think it's going to make a big difference if you're going to eat brown rice or white rice, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I think we've all learned that now, haven't we? It's like years ago, everybody had to eat brown rice or you're going to spike your insulin and you're going to get back. It's like, we all kind of know that's a myth now. It's kind of the total carbohydrate. So
Yeah, I love when you get that question asked. I get people to say that. Why do you eat jasmine rice? I'm like, oh, because I like the taste.
Yeah, we used to get guys in the back in the day with like literally like forcing sweet potatoes down because
and they hate
like,
them.
Yeah, and it was like low glycemic. And I would say, guys, you know, have a white. No, I can't eat white potato. I'll spike the insulin. I'm gonna get fat. And it's like, nah, it's not gonna happen. But hey, we're more educated now, man. We're learning as we go. So.
Is there anything, you know, a lot of people talk about insulin sensitivity, trying to increase their insulin sensitivity. And I've heard some other guys talk about how when they would add certain things to their regimen, the amount of insulin they had to take went down a bit. So they thought it improved their sensitivity.
Yeah.
Do you have anything that you think works like that?
Cardio, definitely. A little bit of high intensity cardio too. I mean, I'm not big on HIT. You know, cardio, I'm an old school guy, like steady state on the treadmill. But if I had like just like 5 minute blast on the Stairmaster, the insulin sensitivity does go way up. And I think there is kind of, I'm not big into studies and stuff either, but there is studies that show like even like 2 minutes of HIIT cardio can ramp the insulin sensitivity right up. So yeah, definitely a bit of intense cardio, but not too much.
Right. But some, that's very interesting.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. When I add some higher intensity like Stairmaster in, because I have like I'll explain. So we have a bolus insulin which you take with your meals, mm-hmm. and we have a basal insulin which controls the liver glucose and stuff, the long acting one. Mm-hmm. And I noticed when I add some cardio, you know, the HIT cardio, the basal insulin can come down. So you know, the goal is to have less circulating insulin at the end of the day,
right. Yeah,
if possible. Yeah.
Well, what about anything like, I had a guy tell me that he started using IGF-1 LR3. And I know a lot of people say it's shit, doesn't do anything. But he used it, and he said the amount of insulin he had to take dramatically dropped.
I have heard stories of Increlex, the actual proper IGF, not the kind of Chinese shit.
Right.
I've spoken to a few guys in Europe who said that they've used probably Increlex. I'm not saying the coach's name, we'll speak off camera if you like, just out of respect, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he said that the insulin has come right down because he actually does work with a professional bodybuilder who is a diabetic, so maybe you can kind of work that one out. And,
right.
Yeah, but out of respect, I won't say the coach's name. But
yeah.
One thing to stay away from if you're a diabetic is GH. It will shoot your blood sugar through the roof. And clenbuterol. If you're a diabetic, stay away from that shit. It will shoot you
really
right up. Yeah.
Do you think that most bodybuilders abuse GH, not thinking about possible blood sugar effects?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of get asked this, you know, do you think you're a diabetic because of your what you did in the past and stuff? I mean, I used to use GH a long time ago. Not a lot of GH, like 4 IUs a day. Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, type 1 runs in my family, so... I'm guessing, you know, it's hereditary.
What year was that? What year did you become type 1?
2017. So I was 30.
Is that right? Right? Okay.
Yeah, I'm old as shit now. So yeah. Usually, if you're gonna, usually like if it's a bodybuilder, you become type 2 because of using like tons of GH, tons of insulin, eating tons of carbs.
Right.
You know, I was diagnosed type 1. You know, hereditary. To be fair.
Right.
You usually get diagnosed type 1 when you're younger, but tends to be before you're 30. I was 30, so.
How old are you now? You're 34?
42.
So you're almost my age, bud.
Yeah, 43 in June, so we're getting there, man.
Oh, bam. So if, you know, you're being almost my age, you would have been bodybuilding during the Dorian era.
Yeah.
So a lot of the... you know, the new crop of the UK guys, you know, Luke and James and the whole crew, you know, like they didn't start training until like 2000, like what Luke started in 2007 or something, didn't he?
Yeah. Those guys are just young bucks. They're just,
yeah. Yeah. And they're still a direct product of the Dorian era in so many ways because of the influence, but you're actually from that era. So how was British bodybuilding, you know, as Dorian like retired, like that whole era there, what was British bodybuilding like?
From when Dorian retired?
Yeah.
Or from back in the day? Are we asking about back in the day? Because I used to have Dorian Yates posters on my bedroom.
Well, oh, yeah.
I kind of got started when Dorian was like at the Night of the Champions, kind of 92 Olympia.
Right.
And I had that big flex poster where he had the shorts on and stuff. And the parents used to think it was a bit weird. So But yeah, we all know the bodybuilding's changed a lot over the past this new generation, if you like. But because back then there was only bodybuilding, that was it. There was no like men's physique or even like classic, or there was basically men's bodybuilding and women's bodybuilding. That was it. There was no figure. There was no physique or anything.
There was no classic division, but there was Charles Clermonti.
Yeah, Charles was really good.
Underrated bodybuilder. I just had to throw that in. Yeah. So what do you remember about the British scene back then? You know, you're a kid in the gyms and stuff.
All I remember back then was when you used to go to the gym, like, again, I'm not trying to, you know, on the new guys, but nobody used to kind of talk. You just used to train. That was it. You used to go to the gym. And Leroy says it's the same. You used to go to the gym, maybe chat for 5 minutes before you started, get your shit done, have your shake when you finished, and you went home. Mm-hmm. That was it. That was your gym visit. Now your gym visit's like 2-3 hours because, you know, people like to hang out afterwards and stuff and socialize. And hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that at all.
Right.
It's just changed. You know, it's the same as my gym. My gym is a gym where you come to train. We don't have a changing room. I mean, we used to have one. It didn't get used. So we just made it the storeroom. So we haven't got a juice bar. We haven't got whatever. So, you know, the guys used to come train, go home. That was it. Mm-hmm. But again, times have changed now. So this is the plan with the new gym. We're going to have like this gym, this kind of atmosphere. We've actually got a hardcore corner that's going to be fenced off. We're going to put we've got the original John Yates pullover from Blood and Guts.
Right.
So that's going to go in there with some old benches and some T-bar and chains and shit. And, you know, real kind of gritty kind of corner fenced off. Basically, we're going to have something for everybody because, again, you know, that's how it is now. And again, there's nothing wrong with that at all. But you'll just find me in that hardcore corner, just my broken bones trying to keep the shit out of myself. So, now, to be fair, I had this conversation with Leroy yesterday. You know, I probably will have to start using a bit more machines due to the injuries and stuff. So, we'll have lots of nice machines to play on there and see how we go with those.
What's your plans for competition and stuff? Like, you're still training hard as fuck, you know? I know you had some injuries and stuff, but what's the plan?
Yeah, we're still training hard on body parts that we can train hard on. I'm currently suffering with this herniated C6. So that makes the right side a little bit weak. It was really weak at one point. It was ridiculous. Like, I couldn't curl like a 5 kilo dumbbell or press a 10. So we're like, this is like three years in now after various treatments, injections, exercises and stuff. You know, and the last option would be surgery. But to be fair, we're kind of about 80% because I don't know how you, with the compressed nerves, what can happen is the nerve can like grow a new root, but it just happens extremely slowly. Like, it's like a millimeter a month or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was told with me being diabetic, you know, that would take even longer with the whole recovery thing. So these past 6 months, it saw like a big jump forward. Mm-hmm. Because what happened was that basically the rear delt kind of melted off. It was gone. The brachioradialis kind of was flat, and those are kind of growing back now. I've got a similar problem to Lee Priest, but he has a herniated C5, and his affects like the upper pec and the tricep. So yeah, I mean, legs I can train real hard on, presses on chest, delts is okay. Right now it's just anything where I raise the arm above, it must just irritate the disc and the nerve, so back training isn't fantastic right now.
Right.
But it is a lot better. So I would love to compete again. I mean, the only two pro shows that I did, I was a little bit off. You know, no excuses. I was off. I would love to have one. Everybody says one last go, don't they? But I did genuinely have some unfinished business. I wasn't at my best. If I was at my best and I came dead last, then I could have let it go, you know, but I was genuinely off for some reasons that weren't under my control, basically. So.
Right. We put up a graphic for questions. I saw you reposted it, and Dusty and I got a lot of fan questions. So does Dusty want to go first?
Yeah, I'll toss some your way because we got a bunch here actually. And I think the big thing that's interesting is everyone wants to know kind of the same things. One of the main questions I have, I got like three times, was do you think that, particularly overseas in Britain and stuff, is the Dorian Yates hardcore bodybuilding training and intensity making a comeback? because of you and Luke and so many people preaching that?
A little bit. I think we are getting a little bit smarter now, though. I think we are realizing that you just can't kill yourself, like, week in, week out. You kind of got to back off. I'm sure you've seen some videos of James and Luke speaking about this as well. That was the big mistake I made. It was like, you got to go all out all the time. And that's a great mentality to have, but it can be a little bit self-destructive. And I think it's only when you kind of step out and look back. I even had this chat with Dorian. He said the same. He said, man, I didn't need to be barbell rolling like 4 or 5 or 3 weeks out. It was stupid. Right. But when back when you got that mindset. But yeah, I think a lot of guys are coming back around to the heavy, hard stuff because they're realizing this fluffy shit where everybody's promoting isn't kind of producing any results, really.
Right.
I mean, I see a lot of comments on your videos just, oh, you're not getting the peak contraction and fuck off, do you know what I mean? But you're fucking deadlifting your plates, you know what I mean? It's,
right.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, right. The curiosity is there, because I'm excited, and I know Ron is too, because there's a lot of people are really seeing that the tissue looks different that is trained intensely. And I find the same thing when guys retire or stop bodybuilding who trained that old school hard knocks way, losing muscle is difficult for them. Like,
I get where you see
other guys just shrink in 2 seconds, guys are having to be like, okay, I can't eat if I want to lose this muscle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Leroy has the same. We have it on a T-shirt because we've got a clothing line, and it's intensity builds density, and it is true. All this fluffy stuff can kind of blow you up a little bit, but like you say, it can go like boom, it's gone.
Right.
Yeah, you got to build that hard, kind of nasty, ingrained stuff with the heavy weights. There's no way around it.
Right.
I had a question here. Other than intensity, what's the most important thing you learned from Leroy?
When I started training with Leroy, again, he's just kind of known as this guy who screams and shouts at you and stuff, and he's not. He's a smart guy. I've picked up a lot of like tips from Leroy, mostly on execution, like squeezing, feeling the muscle and stuff. Because when I was a little bit younger, we all the same. He's banging stuff around, and you know, there is certain exercises, yeah, like a deadlift, a barbell row. You're not going to go for a peak contraction and stuff, but yeah, Leroy's given me a lot of tips on, you know, feeling the muscle contraction. The mindset as well, you know, he just fucking, most guys who are, if it was anybody else who was shouting like that and screaming like that, I would think they're an idiot.
Right. But
this guy's like genuinely, if he's putting you on a set, he fucking wants you to do real well. That's his job. He wants you to, and that's another thing I've learned from Rev, the spot. Like he would literally like fingertip. Like spot. I would usually like maybe pull a little bit too much. And right. I remember when we first started training together, I was like, fuck, I've got to spot him now. And like, there's a few times he's like, fucking too much. Like, get off. Like, fuck. So, yeah, when we train together, we've kind of got a decent synergy now. But yeah, he's a smart guy. So there, technique and learning how to spot properly, correctly, not giving too much on the spot and stuff. And the mindset, you know, he's just got some sayings that like dig in your head. We were doing some hack squats one day, and he's like, "This one's for the baby," because I've got a young daughter, you know. And yeah, that kind of stuff taps in, you know. It taps into your head, and yeah.
I think you Brits have the best motivational sayings. I remember training with Dino for the first time at Dino's gym, and he spotted me, and he goes, "Your mother will leave you before I do." and I'm fucking rowing, and I'm like, holy fuck, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard, but I'm in the middle of a hard set of rows right now, so I just gotta lock this shit down. And then after the set was over, I just broke up laughing. I was like, what the fuck?
Dino,
mother will leave you before I do.
Yeah, Dino fucking loves bodybuilding, man. I mean, I've met him a couple of times briefly. I met him just at Dorian Yates' premiere for his movie. It's one gym I haven't trained at yet. It's one gym I really want to go and train at, because he's got some awesome kit in there, hasn't he?
Dusty and I love it, man. It's just got, you know, I mean, it doesn't get any more old school.
Not at all. And the best of all of it. So another guy wants to know, how soon into training do you think a newbie who wants to be a bodybuilder should pick a show?
This is a tough one because we've got guys kind of jumping on stage after training for 3 months now. I'm sure you're the same, just I get a lot of pictures from guys on Instagram saying, you know, I'm thinking about doing a show. You know, not being rude, they don't even look like they're kind of being at the gym.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not going to shoot somebody down and say, hey, man, you look shit, don't do a show. But I will say, like, hey, maybe he's waiting a little bit longer. You've got a nice structure or something, you know, add a few pounds here and there. But, yeah, it's a tough one because it just depends. If you get on stage, you should look like a bodybuilder.
Right.
As long as you look like a bodybuilder, then you can get on stage. If you don't look like you got a bit of – because I've got literally got guys getting up there with no muscle. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like me turning up at a 100-meter sprint and say, right, let's have a go. Like, I'm not going to do anywhere. I think there should be kind of some – maybe some stipulation where you have to kind of – back in my day, I sound like a right old granddad, but
yeah, I didn't want to say anything.
When I was a lad,
exactly.
Kind of what happened was you were training in the gym, and one of the older guys would say, "Hey, you look like you could compete. Like you look like you're ready." You kind of didn't decide; mm-hmm. It was kind of decided for you. But now it's like it's changed, hasn't it? Now people are starting to train to compete, whereas before people just started to train because they like to train. And then you ended up competing at the end.
You usually got pulled into it by the people who saw that you were like different, right?
Yeah. But now guys are starting because of the whole social media thing. Again, it's not a knock on it. I'm just saying what I see. It is what it is.
Well, that's something that Acito and I joke about. I told him the other day, and it struck a chord, and he didn't think about it, is bodybuilding, and I'm cupping all of it, bodybuilding, figure. It's the only sport where people have never done it, and they're like, I'm going to turn pro.
Yeah.
Like,
the same
nobody picks up a baseball bat for the first time and goes, I think I'm going to play in the fucking majors.
Yeah, they kind of see poster on the wall and think, oh, bodybuilding contest. I could do that. It's crazy. Right. It is crazy. I mean, hey, hats off to them having the balls for doing it, but again, if you're going to be a strong man, you should be strong. If you're going to be a sprinter, you should be able to run fast. So if you're going to be a bodybuilder, you should look like a bodybuilder. So,
right. I actually agree with that break. That's funny because my mentality is a little backwards. I think you'll understand it. Is I do feel like some people on the flip never compete because they're looking at Cedric McMillan and they don't want to compete until they look like him.
Kind of the old school mentality though, wasn't it?
Yeah. I remind guys now, at some point you need to do a show just to make sure that you like bodybuilding, because you might just like working out. Because until you find out that you're fucked up in the head and you like to suffer and you like to be hungry and all those things, you may not like bodybuilding. You know, like I used to give Gabe Bowen shit all the time. He would cry during his preps, and I'm like, well, you don't like fucking bodybuilding. You bitch about dieting the whole fucking prep. Just be huge and call it a day.
Hey, I say that all the time. Competing isn't for everybody. It really isn't. If you hate it so much, like you say, just don't do it.
Yep.
You've got to kind of enjoy the process, haven't you? And if you just like working out and being huge, like you say, you don't have to compete. You're still a bodybuilder if you're not on stage.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you think, you know, I mean, every time we have a guest on, especially like, you know, a super hardcore guy like you, we always try to get to the bottom of why, not how, but why you're super hardcore. Where do you think that comes from? Like, do you remember being hardcore about other stuff when you were younger? Like, have you always been kind of like extremely into things? Was that a common thing? Or, you know, what was it about bodybuilding that made you go 100% or nothing?
Yeah, I think it was my dad. He was like a ball buster. So I think it's ingrained in you from when you were a kid. He was constantly like pushing me, like, you know, don't be a lazy ass, don't be this, don't be that. I mean, looking back, you used to say, oh, you gotta hate your type of thing, but probably did you good in the long run. Yeah, I've always had that attitude. Well, whatever it is, you know, give it all you got. I don't bother doing it. It's pointless in my eyes. But yeah, I think it comes from when I was younger. My dad constantly kicked my ass, telling me, you know, like now, like you weren't allowed to sit on the sofa. Like, you got nothing to do, go out and dig the garden. I just dug it yesterday, dig it again. Like, you know, it's like that was the mentality back then. You weren't allowed to sit around. And again, I'm going to sound like a real old, like, nowadays kids just sit on an Xbox and do shit. It's like I was always having to do something, like gardening or concrete and all, like, other manual work. I worked since I was like 11 years old, so Yeah, it kind of just carries on, doesn't it?
How has that bled into you as a parent?
Being a parent's totally different. I'm soft as shit with my daughter.
I knew it. I try
to be kind of like stern and stuff, but it just doesn't happen. So, yeah, you know the deal. It's totally different.
If she was like a boy, you might have a fighting chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, my daughter's like just wrapped around the little finger. So.
That famous quote by Branch Warren, where he goes, I don't want to bring that shit home to my family.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Got to leave it at the gym.
Yeah, I always say the same. You should be a different person in the gym, totally. If you're the same person in the gym and outside the gym, then I don't think you're giving it 100% in the gym.
Right.
You know, you don't have to be one of those guys who's like stomping around and fucking all the time. If you knew me personally, I'm totally different in the gym. I might become seem a little bit arrogant in the gym, but it's not that at all. I just want to get that done, you know, right. The cap's down. You know the deal, guys. The cap's down.
Yeah.
You need to get it done. You know, it's another Leroy thing that sticks in the head because, you know, I train a body part once a week, and he said, "Listen, man, if you fuck it up, you got to wait a whole week to do it again. Yeah. You know, you've got 52 workouts in a year. You know, you took a few bad ones in. You have a few weeks where you're injured. You have your family vacation. You're down to like 45, 42 workouts. Yeah. You've got to make them count. It's like I don't get these guys who." Who come in and are like, hey, what we're training today, let's do back. And then each pal will say, nah, let's do shoulders. Yeah, let's do that. And there's just nothing kind of gone in prior.
Right.
I'm not saying everybody has to meditate in the bedroom and stuff. I just don't think the focus is there these days. I don't think they're kind of getting in the zone.
How did you get into the zone? Like, did you have a specific thing you did? I mean, what did you do essentially to flip that switch when you would get to the gym and you'd turn off who you are outside of the gym?
Yeah, it became a little bit difficult when I started working the gym. When I owned the gym, I was in the gym all day, and it was becoming difficult to kind of switch over because I was in there all the time. So what I would do is, I mean, it's changed a little bit now because I'm not, you know, the injury and stuff, and I'll explain the pre-workout kind of ritual next, what it's like now. But I would change clothes. Just first of all, I would change into some different clothing just to switch off from work to trainer mode. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys are the same. You've got a kind of favorite shirt for whatever body part, and you wear the same leg pants and all that kind of stuff. Right. A little bit weird, aren't we, like that? And then I would go up in my office or bedroom and just stick on some earphones and mentally rehearse the kind of workout a little bit. Mm-hmm. I did used to keep a logbook. You know, I don't nowadays because I can't do that shit anymore with the injuries and stuff. But I'll train as heavy as I can on that given day. But I used to keep a logbook, so I'll go through the logbook. And just get in there. You've already mentally rehearsed it.
Mm-hmm.
Get through it and get it done. But now, you know, now I'm a dad and the training's a little bit different at the moment. Now I just watch Peppa Pig. I don't know if you guys know what Peppa Pig is or basically I watch cartoons. So yeah, I used to watch Blood and Guts on YouTube. Now I watch Peppa Pig.
Well, you're not in charge anymore. You're not the boss.
Yeah, exactly. So, I can generally still flick the switch. You know, it doesn't take much to flick the switch.
Yeah, I think after a while, it's seasoned in you. You know, like when I was a kid, it was a very specific turn the music on. Like I had to shut the world down. Whereas now, it's literally, and Ron gives me shit because I have little things that I do before every set that are like, it's my flip. Because I can joke with you and then go do my set, you know, but as soon as I touch the bar, it's there.
Yeah, you just said it there. As soon as I touch the bar, I might be struggling to get into it, but as soon as I put my hands on the bar and like feel that shit, I envision my hands like melting through the bars and shit. It's all weird kind of shit. But as soon as I touch the metal, that's it. Kind of something up here goes.
That's why I was interested in seeing that, because I think it's something that I've been working with clients a lot, because they're like, oh, I had an off day. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
And you usually find out, or one of my video guy who also trains with me, I give him shit because I'll see him pick up his phone and glance at his work messages, and I'm like, "Fuck, are you doing?"
Yeah, nah.
If your brain goes there, it's not here. It has to stay here, or you're gonna hurt yourself.
And if you can't do that for like an hour, there's something wrong. If you can't focus on that workout for an hour,
Right.
There is something wrong there. Yeah, I get this all the time because I'm not saying I train super hardcore at all. I don't mean that. I just don't think in general people are training hard anymore. I don't think I'm training harder than them because I train hard. I just think people are just not focused anymore on the pissing around too much. Right. And generally, I'll get someone in for a personal training session and like they're like, fuck, I thought I was training hard, but I really wasn't. And right. I said, well, you've proven that it's in you to do. You're just not like kind of tapping into it just because I pushed you to do it. It's actually there. You just haven't been tapping into yourself to kind of pull it out type of thing.
Mm-hmm. I find that once someone, like I wish that I could train all of my clients one time.
Yeah.
Because I think if they felt that, I don't give a fuck what body part it is. Hell, I might just need one set. And they're like, oh, and I go, no, that's everything you ever do.
Anybody comes to the little dungeon for some PT, they will say, fuck, like, I thought I was training hard. I mean, I'll give you an example. I had a couple of guys come, and, I'll always say, what's your usual training style? Is it high volume, like HIT or whatever? And there was a couple of guys who said they did legs twice a week, 32 sets each time.
Ah.
And I was like, right, okay. Like,
I'm going to have you done in six, kid.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Fucking four.
One guy was out in the street after leg extensions. He was throwing up and stuff. And I'm not sure to laugh. It's not funny. Well, it is funny, but yeah, there's no way you're doing like 32 sets twice a week and recovering and giving everything you got. It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's absolutely impossible. It's just not there. And when people say, oh, how many work sets do you do for chess? If I say like three or four, like, oh, three or four, really? Yeah. If they're really fucking hard sets, man, there shouldn't be anything left.
Yep. Yeah. I was explaining to one of the things that I think is a problem is the hashtag no days off. And they got all these people now that are like, I train every day because I'm serious. And I'm like, that's funny because I was 300 pounds training four times a week.
Yeah, I mean, one of my guys, Dan, he's making good progress on hitting everything once every 10 days, and he's only training 4 days a week.
Really?
So we've pulled everything back, and he's improving again. So
yeah,
it's a tough one because when you feel like you're doing less days in the gym, you kind of feel a bit lazy. But if you're getting like results from it, I went out to Marbella to do the Dorian HIT like master trainer certificate. Yeah, it's just something I wanted. And it's not recognized by any insurance or anything, but I just wanted to have that. It was a thing of mine that I wanted to do. And, obviously I followed Dorian for years. I trained with him as well. Mm-hmm. But when we did the HIT certification thing, the volume was so low. I was like, really, is that it? And like, he explained it because again, like people like to go to the gym. It's an enjoyable experience. So they want to be in there more. But what do you want to do? Do you want to enjoy going to the gym or do you want results type of thing? Right. So that was the kind of key thing that you put across. You could do more sets, but if it's going to impact the progress, if your goal is to build tissue, then don't be scared to pull back at all. Especially the bigger and stronger you get, it just takes more to recover, doesn't it?
Well, I think the more experience you get, it's funny. I had Ron, you'll love this. I got a message from an
idiot. Maybe just center it a little bit more there.
When you want me to
get that pretty face in the middle. Yeah. There we go.
A little better there.
So I had a guy actually say that he got the training program, and after a few days he said, I think I'm too advanced for this because I need more sets.
Yeah.
And I said, well, here's the scary thing. What I just heard is you might not be advanced enough for this. Which is okay. I'll add volume because if you're not advanced enough for that kind of training, it won't be enough. If you're not pushing it far enough, you're right, that won't be enough volume. Because it was a program I wrote for him that was too much volume for me.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm like, wow, that's, you still got something left after that? I'd be fucked.
this is one of the things that I kind of don't agree with is when people say, he's a beginner and he hasn't got mind-muscle connection, so he has to do like a little bit more. Mm-hmm. To me, just like go until you can't go anymore.
Right.
Until you can't do another rep, just keep going. I don't think you have to be advanced or kind of beginner to have that process. Sorry, right. My CCTV keeps popping up on screen there.
We can't see.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right, though. I mean, it's just, it's understandable how much more you have in you. I mean, I'm sure I use the old gun to the head routine. If you think you're done and someone puts a gun to your head and says you have to get two more reps, if you can do two more, you weren't done.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I'd have to look at the guy and go, pull the trigger because I'm fucked. There's no way.
Yeah, I said to me to a girl in my gym once, she trains hard, Michelle, and maybe it's a little bit too much. So we're on the hack squat. And I said, listen, if you don't get another two, someone's going to murder your kids. Oh, she had a son. Oh, fuck, that was a bit too far.
You went full Leroy.
Yeah, she got
the two reps, though, so it wasn't too far.
Yeah, I think she actually got three. So, yeah, sometimes you have to dig that horrible shit out, don't you? I'm not trying to be a psychologist here. But
did you apologize afterwards?
I did. And she was like, no, no problem. I mean, she actually, there's a video. She trained with myself and Leroy, mm-hmm. and she jumped on the leg press, and I'll send you the link. And like Leroy, if you man, woman, it doesn't matter. You're training hard. It's like, and people love that about him as well. She wasn't offended, but he's like, "Come on, you lazy bitch."
I was
like,
"Oh, I remember that clip. I forwarded that to people. That was hilarious."
And it was being professionally filmed, and I said to James, "Listen, do you think we should put that on YouTube? Because it's a little bit." You know, maybe you should ask Michelle. And she was like, no, man, I loved it. Like, so,
yeah, on, it bitch. I remember that.
I like this Michelle. I don't even know who she is, but I fucking like her.
Yeah, I remember that clip. That was funny, man. She just kept rapping out. I laughed.
She just got a pro card, actually, Michelle in this IFBB pro. And another lady I trained with is Wendy McCree. She trained hard as shit. To be honest, guys, I mean, a lot of the girls are training harder than the guys these days.
I always say that. I'm like,
the guys are doing hard. Women are hardcore. And we've got some hardcore ladies at Mass Muscle. But Wendy really gets stuck in. She was leg pressing like 10 plates on the Cybex leg press. Yeah. The weekend, which is heavy, man, on that
leg
press.
That's fucking heavy, hell yeah.
Yeah.
If you've used that leg press, you know what that means.
Yeah, putting like 30 plates on there, man. That's heavy shit.
No, I know. Everyone's like, I like press 15 plates aside. I'm like, that's funny. Dorian does 11 in his video.
Yeah, that's leg press, yeah.
You know, yeah. I got a good question for you if we leave the bodybuilding realm. If you could instantly, this one comes from Albie Flow. If you could instantly become an expert in anything, what would it be?
Actually, as of late, non-bodybuilding related, yeah?
Yeah.
As of late, I've been really into psychology. I mean, really interested in psychology. So, yeah, maybe that would be a super impressive psychologist or something like that. I've been kind of looking at a lot of stuff about how the mind ticks and stuff. And it gets real deep and really interesting. So, sure. I'm the type of person, if I'm not interested in something, I really don't absorb it. It just like goes over the top of my head. But, yeah, I'm really interested in psychology right now. So
what do? Do you read books, watch YouTube videos and stuff?
Yeah, everybody watches YouTube. I'm blind now. I'm diabetic, so I've got those diabetic blind eyes. So reading books and stuff is just, it's either an audio book or YouTube, yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, every evening I do try, and because, you know, we're doing the bodybuilding, I've got the supplement line, I've got the clothing line, I do online coaching and stuff. Every evening for the last meal, I do try and watch something that isn't like bodybuilding related. You know, it doesn't have to be like 24/7. And as of the last 6 months or so, I've been reading the psychology and stuff.
That's awesome. Do you apply it to yourself and think about how you grew up and how you trained and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, a lot of the stuff that I have been watching as of late kind of makes sense of a lot of stuff what's happened in the past and kind of actually what's happening now. So, yeah, it's really interesting taking a few boxes. Because I think we're all a little bit, bodybuilders are all a little bit strange, aren't we? So, to do this shit for so long as well. I mean, you get guys who try it and they think, fuck that, it's not for me.
Right.
But if you've been doing it like 25 years, it's got to be something that keeps you going when you're falling apart and you're just fucking, most people say, oh, fuck this shit, man, I'm done with that. Which is kind of what I come across now. I mean, there was a guy a few weeks back said, oh, listen, man, I think I'm going to have to give up training. My elbow's been hurting for like 3 weeks solid now.
Man, it's like, 3 weeks. Yeah, 3 weeks. That's hysterical.
Pains for like 15 years. It's like you just find a way to work around it, don't you? Again, I'm not trying to sound all hardcore and stuff, but the mentality has just changed really hard.
I think that's a lot of that, like you said, though, that has to do with your passion for it. I mean, because you're not letting go of shit after 3 weeks if you care.
No, that, it reminds me of, like, I've heard stories of rock and roll drummers that will play like a 2-hour show at a massive, you know, massive world tour, and then they ice their wrists for like 3 hours that night to fend off the carpal tunnel syndrome so they can play another show, and they'll do a 300-stop tour. And then they're back in the studio because they fucking just, they love it. And, you know, they try to put off that carpal tunnel surgery for like another year, another 2 years. You know what I mean?
Just because you just love it, don't you? You just gotta love it to do that.
What about you, Dusty?
What would I do? Well, I mean, for me, it's pretty simple. I think the biggest thing I would do would be I would like to be a true expert in business at the highest level. Like, I feel like I'm very good and have found ways around my own mistakes. But I would love to better know why I make some of the things I do, because I have friends that are phenomenal businessmen, and that's probably what has helped me be so successful, is I've got the Rolodex of people to call. But I mean, it would be awesome to really, they're wired different. It's like bodybuilding, you know, that like bodybuilders are wired in a way that we do this. One of my good friends is just one of those people that's wired to buy something for a dollar and sell it for two. And it's the way his brain functions. And I laugh when I think about it, because it's so exactly like bodybuilding. I mean, you'll laugh. You guys will get this. You younger guys won't. But he's older than me. So he used to so he's probably 45, 46. When he was a kid, you used to deliver newspapers. But when you deliver, you would actually deliver to people's houses. And then the way you would collect money was you would knock on the door and ask for money. So when he was a kid, we're talking like 7, 8 years old, he would knock on the door, and if the wife answered, he would give her the newspaper and say, okay, you owe, and she'd pay. And then he'd come back 3 or 4 days later, and he'd knock on the door, and if the husband answered, he's like, you owe.
I know what's going on.
If the wife answered, he'd just give her the paper and leave. Like, he was wired that fucked up since he was a kid.
Yeah, you have to have that kind of, like, not give a shit attitude a little bit.
That's funny.
But I just think it's something, like, the point is, though, it's like, no one teaches an 8-year-old to think that way.
Right. He's and just kind of
That's just the way his brain functions. Like Chris, remember his story with the real estate, when his mom told her what the house was worth versus what she paid for it. His first answer was, why didn't you buy more houses?
Should have bought two.
Why do we have one? I mean, it's just an interesting thing. So, yeah, I would love to have that mindset, because I'm really not driven by money. I'm driven by the scoreboard. So it's fun to win. Those people are truly driven by the dollar.
I would say you're a good businessman, Dusty. You got good business acumen. I mean, for not say, like, you're not an Olympian. You're still an extremely popular bodybuilder, and you seem to be doing well. So, you know,
I just think you're a success because you've avoided having a real job. And I think that
was really how I got into this. How can I never grow up and still make a good living?
So is that truly all you've ever done was bodybuild?
I mean, I owned businesses before. I owned retail shops too. But this was kind of the ultimate goal. I mean, I knew I was unemployable as a kid because I just don't do well with authority.
He was a hockey player.
Never.
No, actually, it's funny, but
he was a very talented goal scorer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Without gloves. no, but they actually, my dad, I was going to go to college, and he told me not to. He was like, "Well, what are you going to do with it? You going to go work for somebody?" He goes, "I'd fire you in a heartbeat."
That's rare. You usually say, "Yeah, you go to college," but
He just understood that wasn't for me, and he was like, you got to own a business. You got to do something because you question everything. And I was like, all right. So I skipped that on the college route. But no, I mean, that I think it is, the key was kind of like you guys, is we all just chase the passion and then the money comes. I mean, you might not be a millionaire, but I think there's plenty of people who make a lot more money than we do who are a lot less satisfied with life.
Definitely. I hear that every day, to be fair. Definitely. Hey, I have no aspiration to be like a millionaire or anything like that, but as long as I'm comfortable, you know, we all need money, especially when you have a family and you got to take care of them and have a little bit for their future. Yeah. You know, that's the idea with the new gym and the Sunderland line and stuff. And, you know, there comes a point where you get a little bit older, it's not just about you, you know, so you do have to kind of knuckle down a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, still follow your passion, man. There's no point going to work with any miserable shit. I just don't see the. I would hate that if I was just going to work. Like, oh God, I hate this job. It's like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long have you had the gym? The gym you have now?
Max Muscle, we've been here 17 years.
Oh, wow.
Shit.
I didn't realize you had it that long.
Yeah, I was 25 when we opened, so.
Someone told me once that any gym open longer than 2 years is a success.
Yeah, it's a general rule for any business, isn't it? That's what they say. If you can get through the first 2 years.
How did you decide to get into that? I mean, I know I understand the gym, but I mean, since we all have owned businesses, I mean, we all know it's a big move when you go to a bank and you're like, I need $500,000. I'm 25 years old.
I mean, Max Muscle wasn't $500,000, but the story of Max Muscle. I used to work in a small gym called Flexit Gym when I was a kid, about 15. I used to work on the counter for some cash in hand type of thing, and that gym got bought by another guy, and he kind of started working in there, so I didn't have a job. I really wanted to buy that gym, but I think I was 17, 16. I didn't have the money to buy a gym, so I thought to myself, right, okay, we're going to save up for a gym. I'll get my own gym. So 17, 18, I started saving. I remember getting the Hammer Strength catalog. Because Hammer Strength back then was like, you know, everywhere's got Hammer Strength now. It's still a great equipment, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
But nobody had Hammer Strength back then in the UK. I was like, yeah, I want that kit. You know, I want to be one of the first gyms to have that. And I was looking at the prices thinking, oh, my God, it's like, this is no way it's going to happen type of thing.
Right.
So anyway, we saved a little bit of money up until I was like 25. I went in with a silent partner. Actually, there was nowhere to kind of try out Hammer Strength in the UK. So I had about the goals. I went out the goals to try like what equipment, what I liked, what I didn't. Because there is some hammer pieces that are really good and some are not. And you know the deal, guys, like Hammer do really good chest and back.
Yeah.
You know, I really love the Cybex for legs. You know, we've got Prime and stuff now and some really good Atlantis. So each kind of manufacturer has bits and pieces that, so this is what's happening with the new gym. We've got like six or seven different manufacturers that I've like handpicked. Myself and Charlie, my business partner, the founder of Overflex. So we went to Goals, tried out the Hammer stuff, ordered the pieces that I liked, and this is where the big balls up happened, because we actually opened in November. So you can imagine November isn't a great time to open a gym.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so the plan was we were opening in June. So we ordered all the kit, you know, paid the deposit and stuff, because it was 50% up front. We ordered all the custom colours, which was purple and black. And, you know, every month we were, because the lead time back then was like 5 months for some Hammer Strength kit, because again, it wasn't as popular back then, and we had to get it in from the States. You know, so every month I would call and say, hey, is everything going okay? You know, are we on schedule? Yeah, everything's fine. You know, we came up with a little bit more funds. We would say, hey, could we add a calf raise on? You know, yeah, not a problem. Mm. And it got to like 2 weeks before the shipment was supposed to be delivered, and I got a phone call from head office, and they said, listen, you know, we're really sorry, but due to a clerical error, your machines haven't been ordered. I was like, really? I've been on the phone, like, speaking to you guys on a monthly basis. And he says, yeah, we're really sorry, you know, this has been a bad mess up. You know, luckily we did get, like, financially compensated for it, because, you know, we had guys in working around the clock, guys, plumbers, joiners, if you know what I'm saying. These guys are having to get paid extra money type of thing. Sorry, my CCTV keeps popping up here. We got compensated, but we opened in November. I was sitting in a gym pissing down the rain. Nobody was coming in. But hey, it all worked out in the end. And eventually bought my silent partner out. And we've been here like 17 and a half years. And I'm pleased to say we're still going strong, because, you know, most gyms like this have closed now. Literally, the backstreet gyms are gone. So, you know, I had a conversation with Charlie. We ended up having a chat. He likes my, you know, idea of what a gym should be about. I like his idea of what a gym should be about. So we're partnering for Overflex Durham. This gym's going to be awesome. Guys, you'll have to visit. You'll love this gym, Ron.
Prime, I'd love to come.
Prime, Atlantis, Norris, Hammer Strength, Watson.
So, yeah, all the best stuff.
You'll have to get a mutant on a mission visit, I think.
Well, I would love to do that, Anth. I mean, I love coming to England, first of all. I love the bodybuilding scene. I've, you know, always been a huge British bodybuilding fan, there's just something about coming over to Birmingham for the Body Power Expo and all that stuff that's just so awesome. I'd love to, you know, get up there to see you, man. You're right up in Newcastle, right?
Yeah, we're near Newcastle, as you can tell by the weird accent. Is Body Power actually happening this year? I literally haven't seen anything for Body Power at all.
Body Power is happening, but Mutant's not going this year.
Yeah, I think a lot of the bigger companies are kind of not going to body part, unfortunately.
Yeah. I wanted to, you know, before you came on, I was looking at Newcastle, and I was looking at famous people from Newcastle.
Oh, here we go.
You're not the only one. Two more of my favorite people are from Newcastle. Come on, I didn't realize Jimi Hendrix was born in Newcastle.
To be honest, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's the first one for me.
I knew he was British, but I didn't realize he was a Geordie. And then my favorite Geordie, Brian Johnson, from AC/DC, Dusty.
Oh, right, okay, yeah, I know Brian Johnson.
There you go.
The kid from the gym knows him now too, Ron.
So I always bring it back to AC/DC, buddy. So, but yeah.
We had actually on for leg day on Sunday, we had AC/DC playlist on.
Oh, yeah.
Every time Leroy comes, it's either AC/DC, Metallica, or Nirvana. So.
Oh, okay.
That's an odd one tossed in there. I gotta be honest. I love Nirvana. Yeah, it surprised me.
Dorian likes a bit of Nirvana when he was training back in Blood and Guts. So.
Oh yeah. Well, it was early '90s, man. So it was.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Thanks for everything. Thanks for your time, man. You know, I was really excited to have you on. You know, I want to get to your gym, Dusty, and I want to get back to England. You know. Yeah. Anytime. Let everybody know how they can get your shit. You got the shirts, you got the sups.
Yeah, you can go to 100%postseries.com for the sups, and we've got hardcoreclothing.com for the clothing. And yeah, I mean, check out ultraflexgyms.co.uk. You know, Ultraflex are a chain. We're not one of those chains where, you know, like a business model and it's like $9.99, like $10 a month. And we're not that model at all. It's we hate those kind of gyms. But there will be a few more Ultraflexes popping up around. So, real gyms are real good equipment.
And you're teamed up in the one location. Is that what you mean? Like that's going to be a little more hardcore, that location.
Yeah, we're going to have a hardcore corner in there and stuff, and for the bad boys to just go and hide in the corner and not scare the ladies. So it's just for the ugly guys to go in.
You know, nice. you know how it is.
So we can all train in there. We've got some nice 100-kilo dumbbells in there for you guys.
Okay,
love it.
Okay. We'll come and see you, man. Thank you, Anth Bales.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys, and keep with the good work, yeah?
Hey, cheers. See you soon. Anytime.
Cheers.
Anth Bales.
I loved it, man. I was disappointed that we didn't get to, I had no idea he owned that gym for so long.
Yeah, I knew he had it for a while, but I didn't know it was 17 years, so he got it when he was like
25, he said.
Yeah.
The math keeps throwing me off because 25 and 17 is not 42, but whatever, you know.
He's in there somewhere. No, man, yeah.
It is. That's good. We're good. We're math is locked in. I was like, 44.2. That's right. No, but he, you know, he was, it's shocking because I always like finding out about how guys take their passion and turn it into a paycheck.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you own a gym and you and I have talked before, like, I consider that one of the hardest businesses behind a restaurant or a bar. You know, I mean, just cutthroat as can possibly be.
Massive overhead, a lot of finger crossing.
Yeah, and I mean, just so to do that, and to, like you said, I mean, the last 17 years as a hardcore gym is incredible. And I have a kid that's at our gym down here, and he's talking about opening a gym, and he was telling me all about it. I said, it's awesome, man. I really look forward to spending 6 months in there. And he was like, what's happening after 6 months? I said, well, you're going to run out of money and go under. Yeah. You can't build a business around bodybuilders. There's not enough of us.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I mean, you know, it's like your gym. I can blast in there, but my mom would train there in a heartbeat.
Yeah. I don't really know how that happened. I mean, we get a lot of people come through the door at West Coast, and they say, they're like, wow, I was really intimidated to come here because people are telling me this is where all the big guys train.
Right.
But then they come in and they're like, oh, this is fun, you know?
Right.
And especially if they come in at like noon, it's like office hour in there.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's like, it's just different. So, but it's the doors open and the music is up and it's upbeat and it's fun. And there's no like managers walking around with frowns on their faces and, you know, trainers trying to sell them packages and groups of kids on their phone taking up space. Like it's just, you know, so there's more to it. But yeah, that he had a real small little hardcore gym.
Right. Well, yeah. And to think about, you know, I don't know if I told you, but my friend just picked up a gym, and he's buying some pieces that I need. And just thinking about, like, if you want, like, I, of course, I needed a Humbler. You know, I was like, I need a Humbler. Well, those are, come from Canada.
you want the Atlantis one.
Yeah, I want the Atlantis Humbler. So he's got an order from Canada. Well, guess what? Think about what it costs to ship that. You're ordering one piece or two pieces of equipment. Yeah. You know what I mean? Now imagine multiplying that by whatever and sending it to England from Hammer Strength.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit.
That's why it took a while. Like, back when I lived in Australia, there was no Hammer Strength down there.
Because just to get it there would be...
Yeah, I mean, that was the mid-90s. So Hammer was only like 5 or 6 years deep here.
Right.
And so you went to Australia, there was no Hammer. Because to put, like, you know, $100,000 worth of Hammer on a boat, fucking float it over to Australia was like fucking, you know, no one was doing that.
It's insanity to think, though, because it, as much as I feel like the old school guy, I laugh to think that the first gym that I ever had a real membership to and I was training at still has the Hammer equipment that was in there when I started there. I still train there once a week here. It just makes me laugh to think, like, this is the same equipment back then. It's full. I mean, they've got probably 25 pieces of Hammer.
Which also goes back to, you know, if there's a nuclear war, there's going to be nothing but cockroaches, straight six engines, and Hammer Strength equipment left.
Fucking love it. It's true, too.
You know, it's just it just seemed to, like, I mean, they have no moving parts other than one bearing.
Yep.
Like, there's a bearing on each side, a sealed bearing that'll just probably last 100 fucking years.
Yeah, no, that's why I laugh, because, I mean, literally every piece. So I started in that gym in 2000. So 20 years ago, and I'm using the same equipment now that I was using then. None of it has been replaced.
The only stuff that ever breaks on Hammer stuff is after about 20 years, the plastic stuff that the seat locks on.
Yep. They have that in my gym right now. So on the pull down, the knee one, actually, that holds your knees down on the Hammer Strength pull down. Yeah. It'll slide up on you during your set. I'm like,
because it gets worn off. It gets worn off. Yeah, and that's it. That's like, you just have to order new plates.
And I'm like, I'll do that for you. It's like $100. I'll pay for it. Fix this shit.
Yeah. And then the only piece of Hammer Strength I've ever seen break was the seated side lateral at our gym. Because the one that we got was like 23 years old.
Right.
And the one arm actually snapped off. It was actually, it gradually broke. Like, we noticed it was bent one day and there was a crack in the weld.
Right.
So I just took the arm off and gave it to a member and he fucking re-welded it and put a plate on there and sprayed it blue and gave it back to me and I threw it back on. It's going to last another fucking
20
years. You know what I mean?
Help me out, buddy. Thanks.
Yeah. But that's it. You know, he didn't even charge me. So it was actually a free fix. So that's, I mean.
Another victory as a gym owner.
Yeah. And then you see, like, it would. One thing I saw a good post. I follow, you know, all the business people on Instagram and shit, right?
Of course.
And the one guy said, technology creep is real. It happens to all businesses and it even happens to gyms. Sometimes. Mm-hmm. We need less fancy stuff and more squat racks.
Right. No, I agree.
And I think about some of the gyms out there that are putting their focus on having fancy equipment. See, like, we have a lot of cool equipment, but it's less moving parts. It's all good shit. Like, a pendulum squat's going to last a long time.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, some of the new machines, you know, like Techno Gym cables, like Techno Gym selected stuff that has all the pulleys and cables and all the moving parts.
What about the ones where you're like, your seat moves while you're,
and the hoist stuff, there's a lot more fail points on a hoist machine because there's so many moving parts. So as a gym owner, I see that stuff and I'm just like, that stuff's not coming in the gym.
Well, you got a couple minutes, because I have a few questions that were directed towards us.
Yeah,
I'd like to toss in there if you got a minute. Best way to target lower lats if I can't deadlift or rack that anymore?
I don't really think that deadlifting and rack deads is, I don't really consider those like lower lat exercises. Those are full back overload trap, middle back, erectors. I think if you're targeting lower lats, I think you should be using like the hammer DY row, you know, the underhanded, the hammer DY row, you know, dumbbell rows pulling to the hips, pull downs with the handle, where you're not leaning back, pulling to your chest, but like pulling down in front of you like this.
Back and,
yeah, like that sort of pull down. I think that stuff, that's what I feel. If you're going to actually try to feel a lower lat exercise,
right,
I'd say that's what I would feel. Maximum contraction.
Dude, this is written for you, and this kid doesn't even know it. Is there such a thing as pushing too hard in the gym? Like, I'm pushing so hard, I want to puke. That's for you, Ron. That is for you.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, there is such a thing as pushing too hard in the gym, I guess. If someone was to say, okay, Ron, your goal for today is to overtrain and destroy your CNS and try to need 3 days off.
Right.
If that was my goal, I could do it. Try to anyways.
Right.
Just by, you know, doing way more volume at max intensity and shit like that. Mm. But I don't really think that there's such thing as like training too hard. You know, I mean, max effort, I mean, whatever max effort is, you should hit it in some way.
Mm.
Every workout, whether it be 10 rep sets or the drop sets you're doing or the one working set per exercise, I mean, something has to be max effort. So, I mean, I don't really care if you feel like you're going to puke, because as long as it's not your own fault, like is your food, your pre-workout, how much water you're drinking, are you upsetting your stomach, are you, is there something you're doing that you could prevent the puking feeling by fixing? But if it's a genuine, you know, waste product, you know, lactic acid related body and freaking out type of puke that happens to all. I mean, I remember puking in my helmet running sprints in football and that sort of shit. So, I mean, I think you have to do that stuff to a point. You don't have to puke, but you have to train that hard to a point, you know?
I was going to say, my quick answer to that was going to be exactly what you just said, which is, I would bet, and I don't know this individual, but most people, I know for when I was a kid, when I was eating shitty, just doing whatever I could to grow, I puked all the time.
Yeah.
Because my food sucked, and my cardio conditioning sucked, and I didn't register that. But I trained, I had the same mental capacity that I do now, right, so I would get sick.
Yeah.
I have not puked from a workout in years.
Yeah.
You want to know the last time I puked for real? Exactly what you said. I took a pre-workout before that had a ton of caffeine in it, and it didn't register to me why I felt nauseous until I puked and I saw blue raspberry in my puke. And I was like, fuck, that's
right.
Because I was like, why am I feeling nauseous? I do this all the time. So I think most people should find a hole or will find a hole in their nutrition or in their supplementation more than they think it's the gym, because chances are, and I could be wrong, but chances are it's not just your workout that's causing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I attribute, a lot of my puking back when I used to puke every leg day, cause I puked every single leg day for years.
Yeah.
And I attribute that to how anxious I got myself. Right. I literally fucking stressed myself into puking, cause I would be so anxious. And then I would take like, you know, heavy pre-workout.
Yeah.
And back then pre-workout was like, an ephedrine and a caffeine, right?
Right.
And I would hit the gym just so anxious that I'm already nauseous. I mean, I think I told the story about how I even puked before legs for a little while.
You had the nervous pukes.
Yeah, I actually went through a phase where I started throwing up before my leg workout. And I'm like, okay, this is fucked.
That doesn't even sound enjoyable, dude.
Yeah, no, there's something wrong. And that was when I realized that. Because, you know, I puked and puked for years on legs, and I thought I just train harder than everybody else.
Right.
And then when I started puking before my workout, I was like, oh, okay, there's something going on here with my head. I need to calm down.
Right.
Like, this is not productive, because now I'm going into train legs after I've already thrown up.
Yeah, we're starting this in a catabolic state, basically.
Yeah, just like weird sort of. So, and I wound up like learning to calm myself down. And I was still in like my mid-20s at this point when I realized this. And I started trying not to go into my leg workout so fucking hyped.
Right.
Like, I was walking in for leg day, like, let's fucking do it. Like, I was just vibrating. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to roll in like normal, say hi to everyone.
Right.
Take a few minutes, maybe crack a joke, because I was going off the rails.
Listen to Lion King.
Listen to Lion King, you know, get a temple massage, you know. And, you know, I started to be able to control it more. So some of my vomiting over the years was just how anxious I got for leg day. But then, you know, once I, you know, fix the stims, fix the food, fix the stress, there's still some leg day pukes that happened all along the way, all through my life. You know, it wasn't every single leg day, but it was like once in a while. Oh, yeah, the rest pause set got me. Right. Let's go out the back door, fucking puke a bit, go back in for leg curls. You know, so that stuff still genuinely happens. I mean, last year I threw up a couple times training legs, you know. Yeah. They made Instagram, most of them.
I'm pretty proud that you were throwing up training legs retired, by the way.
Yeah, that was also, I had to, you know, maybe, you know, read some psychology books about this.
Called Ant.
Called Ant, talk about it. Maybe he's got some YouTube links he can send me.
That's gold. All right, I'm just taking over, just so you know, because I have too many of them.
That's cool. All the ones I had were for Ant, so.
Okay. Fuck, where did it go? God damn it. I love when I, oh, there we go. There's. Does morning cardio make a big difference when cutting compared to post-workout cardio?
I'm not sold. I don't believe that morning cardio is a necessity at all. I did shows where I did zero morning cardio, a lot of them, and I got in better shape at some of those shows than I did where I used to think I had to do morning cardio. Mm-hmm. My take on cardio is that you have to do your cardio at some point. The best time to do it isn't right after you ate starchy carbs, obviously. Right. You know, you don't want to eat like 10 ounces of potato and then just jump right on the treadmill. And like, I get that. But at the same time, it is about total calories burned and movement. And you just have to get it done. Mm-hmm. I did most of my cardio my whole life post-workout and before my last meal.
Right.
So I would maybe train after my first meal or second meal, do 20 minutes on a treadmill. And then at night, while I watched The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, the new guy's not as funny.
When it was still awesome. Yep.
When it was still awesome. I would hit my 40 minutes.
Right.
You know, and then I'd have my protein only meal and go to bed. And right. I did a lot of that. I also worked nights because I was a bartender for so long. So the last thing I wanted to do was get up at noon and not eat till 1:30 because I'd drive into the gym to do cardio. And like,
right.
You know, I just wanted to get up, eat, go to the gym and train, get the workout done.
Yeah.
So it was just at a different schedule. And some people thrive on morning cardio, but I think they thrive on the process of morning cardio. Like, if you like it, then fucking get it done.
Yep.
Like, if you like getting up early and going to the gym and being an early bird and all that shit, if that's your personality, that's how I'm totally for it. I'm not going to tell you to not do it.
Right. No, I agree. I don't think there's anything pro or con with it. I mean, my personal thing is, number one, I hate cardio, so I like getting it done.
Right.
And then number two, I have found when I go to the gym and do my cardio in the morning, it kickstarts my day. Like, right. I'm awake, you know, but I also have this is not how I did it when I owned the businesses. Like, now it's, I have the luxury of scheduling my life around when I need to do things.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I agree with you 100% of that. I don't think it matters. I mean, to me, it's even furthermore. If you don't burn more calories doing the cardio at a different time, how much can it really matter?
Right. You know,
I think that people should really oversimplify bodybuilding to the point of it not even being accurate, but try to. Like, if you burn 300 calories in the morning, you burn 300 calories in the afternoon, and you still ate the same 2,900 calories, let's argue.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah. I do understand blood sugar and all those things, but I mean, realistically, if you take it down that far, it's going to be marginal.
Yeah, it, you know, works.
Those are the same people that are going to argue about me putting sugar-free ketchup on my egg whites.
Yeah,
you know,
2 grams of carbs in there.
Yeah, I know, and I eat them every day.
Yeah, yeah, so, man.
Yeah, so hey, solid examples. That's why I thought you would. They did a perfect example for something for you to throw in there.
You got one more for us?
One more. I was hoping for something a little bit wild, but everyone really stuck to Babylon. oh, that's a rough one. okay, this is good because you used to do with this. What's a good way to max effort sets if you don't have a workout partner? Are you just a max effort?
Yeah. Well, I would always use machines more if I was doing stuff where I had to go to absolute failure. That's when you can employ stuff where you don't need a spotter. Like, you know, if you could do more drop sets, more rest pause on certain machines is safer than on other machines. Yep. You know, if you're going to say that you want to do a rest pause on the hack squat, you could stop, you know, on that slow rep, the one rep before failure. You could stop on that if you had to. And by doing the rest pause, you're still digging deep, 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 deep into the muscle. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You do your best. If you're not comfortable, like if you have a hack squat that you can't go to the bottom on, you know, like I could set stoppers on that arsenal that we have and I could technically get it so I could just go right to failure and then just bottom out if I couldn't get it up.
Right.
But if you're on a machine that's not safe, you just got to do your best. Train with dumbbells more so you can drop the presses when you fail. Train with hammer machines more. I'm not a free weight purist at all. I've seen way too many gains and way too many world-class physiques developed using, you know, hammer machines and dumbbells, and you know, you don't have to do barbell presses and barbell squats, and like, you know, they're nice to be able to, just nice to be able to do everything. Yeah. But, you know, if you got to train absolutely all out and you got to train alone, machines are your friend. You'll learn to use them.
Agreed 100, man. Well, yeah, I think that's the thing, is getting the purists have to remember that it really comes down to the muscle does not realize whether you're on a hammer strength or an incline bench.
Yeah, when you're loading, training differently.
And if you talk to a lot of therapy people, tissue workers, they would tell you anything that's a bar is actually a bit of an issue because no one is 50-50.
Yeah.
You are not pushing up 100 pounds on the right side and 100 pounds on the left side. You're just not.
Right.
At least at some point when you get tired out, your weaker side does go first, and that shifts. You know, and that's where more issues come into play. You don't get that on a hammer strength incline.
Yeah.
Your left side only gets the left weight. Your right side only gets the right weight. And there's definitely something to be said for that.
Yeah. There's also something about straight bars that, I mean, like joint wear and tear. I can't use straight bars anymore because my hands need to turn a little.
Right.
Like if I, like 5 degrees and I have no elbow pain, straight bar, pain all through my shoulders, elbows, everything. But if I just can go like that, I'm gold.
Yep.
So it tells you something about the movement pattern to begin with.
Yeah.
Like 20 years ago, it wasn't fine. It was a problem. I just didn't have pain.
Yeah, you didn't know yet.
You know what I mean?
It was the 20 years of doing it anyways.
Yeah, it's not doing them now that hurts.
You have the pain, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so.
Agreed.
Yeah, no, totally. Well, another great show, Dusty. I was happy to have Ant on. Glad we were able to stick around for a little bit after.
Absolutely.
You know, we went like an hour and a half.
I'm trying to get people through 3 cardio sessions because I do 30 minutes.
Is that the goal? Yeah.
I just look and I'm like, we can't stop yet because I would be fucked. That'd be 4 extra minutes of just silence.
Right. Okay. No, man. Okay. Yeah. We're hooking up again next week. It's just you and me.
Yep.
And then we're very excited about the guest we have on the following week.
Yes.
He says he's in. He says he's good to go. We want to say?
I think you go for it. Let's get ballsy. We never tell anybody.
So it's booked. We got Evan Santapani in 2 weeks on It's Just Bodybuilding. So we're very excited about that. So don't be afraid to send Evan a message and tell him you're excited too.
If we're all excited, so please fucking come. No, yeah. Evan is as old school as they come. If he says he's coming, it's done.
I want to get some handyman tips off him too because I'm getting to be that type of guy now.
Yeah, gardening for sure.
So remember, like, subscribe, share and comment, tell your friends.
Spotify,
we're on Spotify now, so you really can't avoid us now. Go back, listen to the old episodes. We want to hear from you. Thanks for watching, and remember, it's just bodybuilding.